Amen. Amen. Hope Chapel, you can take your seat. Y'all give it up for the worship band one more time. Welcome to all of you who flew in from different parts of the country. Thank you for being here. Lovely weather. Lovely weather. If you're around Sunday night at the gathering here in Dimnit Chapel at 7 o'clock, we'd love for you to come out to our worship service there. We're in the book of Judges, and this will be our last sort of sermon on the book of Judges for this semester. We'll still continue in the spring, but we're about halfway through. So come and listen to what thus saith the Lord. So I have the great privilege to welcome to our pulpit this morning Dr. Davia Crutchfield. Y'all give it up for her. She is a proud product of Cincinnati, Ohio. Give it up for Cincinnati. And she has degrees from The Ohio State University.
Don't boo.
There you go. Okay. And also Howard University, nation's capital, D.C. There you go. H.U. You know. And she has a Ph.D. from Howard in communication. And we're so grateful to have her. Y'all give it up again for Dr. Davia Crutchfield.
Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you. Good morning, beautiful people. Thanks for braving the snow. I think for most of you, this is normal, even though I'm from Cincinnati. It's not so normal for me. You know, I prefer spring and autumn, two seasons we really don't get much of anymore. You know, it's all about extreme temperatures, but nevertheless, we're here. Today's message is entitled Unfinished Business, and the inspiration for it was actually found at the completion of my doctoral process. You ever reach something really monumental and you expect that on the other side of that monumental thing would be like rest? I came to find out that was not necessarily the case. So if you would brave this with me, I would really like to share this message that God has helped me prepare for you all today. Have you ever completed a task or concluded a journey that was such a walk of faith and a testament to your perseverance, only to find that on the other side of that process was another process? Have you ever walked out of the wilderness only to discover the clearing you gleaned through the trees was only temporary, and the next step of faith was yet into another thicket? Has the end of your voyage, season of hardship, or faith-testing exercise only led to yet another voyage, season of hardship, or faith-testing exercise? What do you do when you reach what you thought was the mountaintop, only to find it was actually a place of pause, a position for rest, and there was yet still more to climb as there was so much more required of you? Oftentimes, we expect the reward for our obedience, the completion of what we truly believe God asked of us, would be the manifestation of an oasis of sorts. But what about when the product of completion is not an oasis, but what emotionally simulates more of an obstacle course, as the work ahead was almost unfathomable? Today's scriptural guide resides in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In this text, Moses has just died, and God has directed Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. The NIV version reads, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.'" In the first 9 verses, God gave Joshua a lot of information. He says to Joshua, "My servant Moses is dead." And before the weight of this news can fully grapple, the verse includes, "Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan." God tells Joshua, "This is what you need to be successful. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Go." Don't just go, but take all of them and go. So let's process that for just a moment. The news, the instruction, the repetition. Go, take them and go. I will be with you. Be courageous. God did not give Joshua the intimate details of what was ahead. However, if we were to gauge from the reading, we'd anticipate some extreme and possibly terrifying hardships. How? God gave Joshua the result of obedient action. You will be successful. And preface on how to get through it. Be courageous. There were promises. I will give you every place where you set your foot. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. There was advice. Be strong and courageous. Be courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous. Why would he need so much courage if the Lord already said he had an expansive territory to give to them and that no one would be able to stand against them? Because there was a process. There's a song by Shekinah Glory titled Yes, where the lead singer summons a series of questions. Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Now, will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you what I really need from thee, will your heart and soul say yes? Now, these questions are posed and asked back to back to the point where, while singing, I've sometimes thought, I said yeah. But the reality of the repetition of the question, I believe, is, are you sure? I'm going to ask you again and again and again so that outside the emotionalism of a good song and some captivating words, you can be sure about what it is you are agreeing to without the details of the voyage. Will your spirit still say yes when the road is long and uncomfortable and you're hoping that there's more than manna on the menu for today? Will your heart and soul say yes? For years, I sung this song with confident surrender until I realized and experienced the weight of yes. Early on, I couldn't imagine the Lord asking anything seemingly impossible of me. Maybe give my life or surrender to a path of social obscurity and depravity, maybe martyrdom. And as extreme as those things are, in my naivety, I thought of them as unflattering. It was still inconceivable to adhere to a faith walk that would lead me anywhere other than a respectable schedule with some sprinkled moments of discomfort. I knew of loss. I knew of rejection. I knew of heartache. I knew of heartbreak. But I didn't realize that when I agreed to live my life walking by faith, I'd have to not only surrender my schedule to the process, but also my understanding of the circumstances that would essentially transform my personhood from the inside out. I'd have to be reshaped. That heartache, joy, laughter, peace, peril, knowledge, and uncertainty would actively work together for my good, smoothing out some edges and sharpening some others. I believe God reminded Joshua to be courageous because there would be moments where exhaustion would set in. The spot where he found the most received solace would seem sufficient for long term. He reminded Joshua to be courageous because there would be territory he'd have to conquer, not just enter into. And he could not afford to succumb to the quiver of possible defeat. Joshua was reminded of the one who brought him forth, "Have I not commanded you?" So that in the event doubt took hold in his mind and ability, he'd rely not on his own merits, but on the one who sent him. In my own faith walk, I've grappled with lines of service and servitude. One time I confessed to God, "I'm afraid of what you'll ask of me. I'm afraid of what's next for me because this faith walk has not been pleasant. And in all honesty, it's been disappointing. It's been hurtful." In this confession, I realized in my fear of more grit, I'd stop voyaging. I realized my liberation required my continuation because as long as I had breath in my body, I could not afford to stay suspended. And I realized in that moment I'd bound myself to a spot on the road. I realized that everything has a process and that even in reaching the promised land, there was still work that needed to be done. Plowing required work. Harvesting required work. There may be confrontation and even moments of combat, but I had to be reminded that I was sent and the Lord, my God, was with me. I had to be courageous, and I realized courage showed itself in me in a variety of ways. Showing up was an act of courage. Learning when and how to say no was an act of courage. Establishing and sticking to a boundary line was an act of courage. Respecting another person's boundary line, an act of courage. Apologizing, an act of courage. Changed behavior, an act of courage. Being intentional about the messages and the work God gave me to do, an act of courage. If God told you what was really needed of you, how much further you'd have to walk, how much higher you had to climb, how many more nights you'd have to study, how many more no's you'd receive, how many more policies you'd reform, how many more lessons you had to prepare before encountering the one student who got it, how many more times you'd have to surrender unto him in order to endure, would your heart and your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions, say yes? Wherever you are in your walk today, understand that two things will always remain true in your life. One, God is ever present. And two, the journey will always require much more. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we give you all praise and thanks for this moment and this day. Lord God, I see students, faculty, staff, visiting students, parents, all make their way from this building. It is our sincere prayer that you not only guide them to their physical destinations, but also their spiritual ones. Reshape in each of us, Lord, to be a reflection of you. Challenge us in ways that confront our own biases so that we have no choice but to show up in the manner in which you have designed. We give you all praise, all thanks, and all glory. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen.